Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Sports Kingdom, we discuss Dwight Howard going to the Rockets, UFC 162 results, NHL trades, the Wimbledon tournament, Brad Stevens hired by the Boston Celtics, and hot dog eater Joey Chestnut. Don't go anywhere because Sports Kingdom starts right now. Hello and welcome to Sports Kingdom. Sorry for the technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, but we are now on the air today. Hello and welcome to Sports Kingdom. I'm your host, Julian Bribe the King. Today is July 7th, 2013, and I'm here with our co-host, Sean the Dr. Elmer. Sean, how's it going today?
Good. I'm raring and ready to go, Julian.
Are you there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we're just having major problems right now with Blog Talk Radio, but let's get this show started as I'm pretty excited to talk about a lot of topics today. The number to the show is 646-716-5733. Once again, the number to the show is 646-716-5733. The email to the show is skbtradio@gmail.com. And one last thing, the chat room is open, so chat up while it's open. You can interact with your host as the show goes live on the air. Now, we first begin with Dwight Howard officially becoming a member of the Houston Rockets. Dwight Howard announced via Twitter that he would be taking his talents to Houston. Dwight Howard is now going to be paired up along with James Harden, in which I believe is going to be a great duo in the NBA. Dwight Howard has left Los Angeles, which leads me to ask you, Sean, what factored into Dwight Howard leaving Los Angeles and now becoming a member of the Houston Rockets?
Well, it was really a combination of factors, Julian. At the start of the season, this past season, five games in, when the Lakers fired Mike Brown and brought in Jim Buss, the now owner of the Lakers, brought in Mike D'Antoni and chose Mike D'Antoni over Phil Jackson. Dwight wanted Phil, and he was ignored. And then in D'Antoni's system, once D'Antoni took over, Howard felt like he wasn't made a true part of the team. He felt like left out in the cold a little bit. So that didn't go over with him. And near the end, when the Lakers conducted their interview, or their attempt to re-sign Howard last week, Kobe Bryant was quoted as saying, "Dwight, I'll teach you how to win." To me, Dwight Howard doesn't need to be taught how to win. I know he's still young, but the guy's been to an NBA Finals already. He knows what it takes to get there. So that was, I felt, a wrong move by Kobe on his part. But generally, it's mostly because he wanted Phil, and he didn't get him. And then Mike D'Antoni didn't make him really a true part of the team. So Dwight he felt hurt by those things that the Lakers did. And if you want to know me, I'll close by saying that he went to a team where I feel, just like Chris Broussard does, it's the best basketball fit in Houston, because he's paired with a coach in Kevin McHale that is a former forward in the NBA. So he knows if there's anybody that can make Dwight Howard a better player, it's Kevin McHale.
Yeah, Kevin McHale will surely improve Dwight Howard's post-game significantly. Dwight Howard, of course, last year fouled through the back injury and the shoulder injury. And now to have Kevin McHale as your coach rather than Mike D'Antoni is going to be pretty good for Dwight Howard. And I think Dwight Howard can totally make the Houston Rockets contenders next year in the Western Conference. I think if he stayed in Los Angeles, then Dwight Howard would have never gotten anywhere with the way things were going in Los Angeles. The personnel, I've been saying all along, hasn't known what they've been doing all along, and they've just been skeptical Coach D'Antoni, not the right guy, and Mike Brown surely wasn't the right guy as well. Those two coaches tried mixing up styles. Tried mixing up styles while Dwight was in LA, but apparently Dwight never really fit into the system of D'Antoni's or Mike Brown. So even if Mike Brown was the coach for five games, still things just did not work out well system-wise. And also the team they have all around is full of a bunch of veterans that I feel are not in stage of their prime. You look at Steve Nash, Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant, and those guys are way past their prime, including at a World Peace. And they're all set to become free agents next year. And I think since Dwight is now part of the Houston Rockets, the Lakers can focus on enduring this upcoming season and then getting ready for the next offseason ahead. But I think Dwight Howard made the right decision. I think there's going to be less pressure going into Houston, although he is going to be pressured to have a breakout season after the past three seasons have been so well for Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard can finally put all the drama to rest and play his game out on the court. People want to see Dwight Howard play his game out on the court, or else his reputation will never be restored. His reputation will never be restored if he just never steps up and wins a championship someday. That's his goal, to win a championship. I think Houston's the best place. But you got great personnel. Daryl Morey, executive of the year a few years back. He's done everything in his power to bring Dwight over to Houston. So they're totally getting a gift. And I think Daryl Morey and the rest of the Rockets organization is going to keep on working the pieces out and seeing how they can improve the Rockets even more around Dwight Howard and James Harden. I think those guys, once again, are going to be such a great duo. They're going to be such a great duo, but I think it's going to matter. You think about Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin didn't have so consistent of a season last year, and he's a guy who's going to have to really step up in order to keep his starting spot in the Houston Five. I think there are many point guards out in the league today who are very talented, and I can name Jeremy Lin in the bottom half of the talented point guards out there today. So he's going to really have to step up. He's going to really have to step up. There's some skepticism as to what going on with Omar Sheik, whether he's leaving or not. I think from my opinion, he should leave, because if you don't get along with Dwight Howard in your front court, then there you go. Drama once again, which Dwight Howard is just trying to get away from and play his A game out on the court. And so in conclusion, I feel Dwight Howard, out of all five teams, Atlanta, Golden State, Los Angeles, Dallas, and Houston was the best move, and I think he's going to try putting himself up there with Houston greats such as Yao Ming, Elvin Hayes, Hakeem Olajuwon, and others. So I think Dwight made the best move. But Sean, are you there?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'll add one more thing in on Dwight Howard going to Houston. Make no mistake about it, he's going to be one of their big focuses. But Houston, I agree with Stephen A. Smith and Chris Broussard that Houston is a James Harden-led team. So I like the point you made about Jeremy Lin, Julian. He does have to step up, but the engine, the guy that makes Houston's engine of an offense go is right now, it's James Harden. He's the captain of that team. He's the one that makes that team go right now. And I kind of like that picture that Dwight Howard and James Harden put up through social media. What does that tell you? They're getting along real well already. So I think nothing more but excitement is ahead for the Houston Rockets with Howard and Harden.
Yeah, most definitely. Once again, it was the best move for Dwight's future, and I look forward to seeing what Houston can do out in the Western Conference next year. But now we got to move forward. By the way, the number to show is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733. And also, just a reminder, that our one-year anniversary is coming up on July 26th. So make sure you keep up to date on our social media pages, as we'll give an announcement as to who our special guest will be on our one-year anniversary very soon. All right, so we now move on to UFC 162, which took place last night in Las Vegas, Nevada. First of all, huge shocker happened, but Chris Weidman went on to become the middleweight champion in the main event against Anderson Silva last night. Anderson Silva was the UFC middleweight champion for six straight years, and then dropped it to Chris Weidman after, in my opinion, he dropped the ball. He pretty much dropped the ball. I thought he came into the cage with a very cocky personality and didn't show 100% of who Anderson Silva really is. Chris Weidman, a person from Long Island, New York, went through a devastating time last year when his house was devoured, all due to Hurricane Sandy. And so he's battled adversity to compete in this main event against Anderson Silva. Chris Weidman never lost a fight, and so many people anticipated for this match to sure be legitimate for many fans. I said back on Wednesday that there hasn't been a main event so anticipating like this. So, hey, it was just a stunner that Chris Weidman won and went on to win the UFC middleweight championship. There's going to be questions as to if Anderson Silva will ask for a rematch. I think it should happen. I think many fans are already saying it should happen, all due to the fact that Anderson Silva didn't put 100% effort last night. But We'll see. We'll see. They're saying Belfort might be the next one in line for Chris Weidman. And we'll just have to wait and see. Although, Sean, let me ask you, what do you think of this huge accomplishment last night for Chris Weidman? Chris Weidman, like I said, overcame adversity, was able to compete in this major. In my opinion, the greatest in UFC, in the UFC, Anderson Silva. So, what do you think about this huge accomplishment for Chris Weidman?
I think you hit the nail right on the head, Julian. You said it all. I mean, guy who battled all the adversity you were talking about with going through Hurricane Sandy and losing his home and all that. I'll tell you what, going in the last, that match last night, seeing it advertised and all that, I thought that Silva, I expected to wake up this morning and find out Silva won the match. And I was just, my jaw almost dropped. I could not believe that Silva lost. And as you were saying about a rematch, if it was me, knowing that I didn't put forth my best effort, like you were saying that Silva didn't, I'd want to get a rematch as soon as possible. I'd want to prove that I could beat Chris Weidman. I mean, Anderson Silva, he had 10 straight title defenses. 10 straight times he had defended a title in UFC, and he had won every time. And I don't know what happened to him last night. I mean, he was, I heard he was like you were saying, very cocky. I heard something about he was taunting Weidman, and then Weidman just knocked him straight out. So, if it was me, I'd get a rematch, because Anderson Silva, if you're listening to our show, you're out there.
He's not. He's not.
Well, I'm just saying, if he was, you could put forth a better effort than that. I was very disappointed and shocked, as you said, to learn. But I do give a lot of kudos to Chris Weidman, like you said, going through all the adversity and that. But very surprising to say that he lost that fight last night.
Yeah, Chris Weidman, very young for his age, defeated Anderson Silva by knockout in the second round. Anderson Silva looked as if he had his hands down for most of the time. And when you get very cocky, that's what happens. You let loose of your defense and let the opponent take advantage of you, in which Chris Weidman did.
Yeah, and that's not, Julian, that's not like, at least in my eyes, all the times I've known Silva, that's not his style at all. So he's usually the aggressor. I would have expected, if Silva was going to get beat last night, I would have expected it to be, you know, the full three rounds or whatever it was. I would have expected the fight to go the distance and come down to like a split decision or something. Like, I wouldn't have expected Chris Weidman to just go in there and just bam, and take out Silva like that. So, yeah, very surprising last night.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, I want to run down a little bit of a little bit more of the other matches, but Frankie Edgar went on to win over Charles Oliveira. Frankie Edgar, this was sure a nice win for him after after snapping his three fight losing streak. He sure needed this match between Charles, as he picked up the win. Also, Mark Muniz defeated Tim Boesch. Tim Boesch appeared to be a little injured going into the match, so wasn't quite surprised that Mark won. And final match I want to just mention, Cub Swanson defeated Dennis Seaver. Cub Swanson defeated Dennis Seaver in a tremendous fashion by knocking him out in the third round of last night's pay-per-view. So Cub Swanson picked up the win there. And to wrap up on UFC 162 last night, it was sure a great pay-per-view. And if you haven't seen it yet, I suggest you go back, possibly look through it on your local cable providers or YouTube. YouTube already has the knockout of, or already has Chris Weidman, a video of Chris Weidman knocking out Anderson Silva. So, great pay-per-view last night. But now we get on to Angel Trades that transpired through this week. Corey Schneider, first of all, from Vancouver, was traded to the New Jersey Devils. Most people were a little surprised, as the Devils gave up their 9th overall pick for Corey Schneider rather than Roberto Luongo. Roberto Luongo is reported to now be the starter of Vancouver, of course, but the GM of Vancouver stated, if you're not going to play, then they'll just find someone else. They'll just find someone else, as if a player does not play, just sits out. He pretty much holds out. Then the NHL club has the option of terminating his contract. So, getting back to Corey Schneider, though, he was traded to the New Jersey Devils, and most people are expecting Martin Brodeur and Corey Schneider will now work it out together between games. They'll most obviously become a platoon. Martin Brodeur, he's over 40 now, so there's questions as to if this is his very last season, which leads me to ask you, Sean, what do you think of Corey Schneider coming to New Jersey along with Martin Brodeur?
I'll say this, Julian, about Corey Schneider. I think Corey Schneider, for the time being, until Brodeur's son, Anthony Brodeur, who was selected in the NHL draft and quite nicely announced by his dad, Martin, with that pick. But until he's ready, I think Corey Schneider is going to be Martin Brodeur's successor, and I look and I'm expecting next season, this upcoming season in the fall, I'm expecting Corey Schneider to get the majority of the starts, as you were hinting on, Martin Brodeur prepares to fade into the sunset and get ready to hang up his skates.
Yeah, most definitely. I just look as Martin Brodeur passing down the torch to Corey Snyder. And then, who knows, come along the way, Corey Snyder could pass the torch down to Martin Brodeur's son, who was picked up by the New Jersey Devils, Anthony Brodeur. So I like the trade. I like the trade. New Jersey is still trying to sustain themselves in the playoff picture as they've come up with some other moves during the off season. So yeah, in my opinion, this is probably the final year we see Martin Brodeur, one of the greats, and Corey Schneider then obviously become the goalie. But let's talk about another NHL trade, which went viral just a couple of days back. But Tyler Seguin from the Boston Bruins is traded over to the Dallas Stars for a trio of talent from Dallas. Tyler Seguin, he struggled throughout the playoffs this year for Boston, and he also struggled in one of his first seasons with Boston. He was the number two overall pick. And so let me ask you, Sean, but what did you think of this trade? Do you think Tyler Seguin can make a much better impact with Dallas now?
I think he can, Julian. Yeah, honestly, I think he's a great young talent, Tyler Seguin. I think he's a guy that is capable of scoring a lot of goals for a team. So I think he will get himself back on track, and I look for him to have a much more productive season next season as a member of the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I think so too. I think maybe Boston wasn't the right place for Tyler Seguin, and I think maybe Dallas would work out for him. Boston has been moving around the puzzle pieces during this off season, so I'm glad Boston traded Tyler away, and I look forward to seeing what he can do in Dallas. But all right, now fading away from the NHL, we're going to talk about tennis. By starting off with Marion Bartoli, but Marion Bartoli won the women's final yesterday. Marion Bartoli won her very first Grand Slam yesterday, and she was ranked number 15 going into the match. Serena Williams was knocked out a little earlier last week, and Marion Bartoli just capitalized on the moment and won her very first Grand Slam tournament. Which leads me to ask you, Sean, what are your thoughts on her or on Marion Bartoli winning her first ever Grand Slam title?
I was surprised by the women's tournament result, Julian. As I said on one of our recent shows a week or so back, when the Wimbledon tournament was getting down to its final stages and final rounds, I thought Serena Williams was going to be the winner. I just thought the way she was playing that she was unbeatable. But as we know, her Marion Bartoli's opponent, who I'd also like to take a moment to congratulate, Sabine Lisicki, after she beat Serena Williams, she surprised. That was, for me, the upset of the tournament. and one of the greatest upsets, I'm willing to say, in Wimbledon history because of the way Serena Williams was playing at the time. But Marion Bartoli, to get back to her, hey, deserving champion. Nice to see a fresh new face win a Wimbledon tournament. But like I said, her opponent, Sabine Lisicki, I know she was very upset after the loss, but she shouldn't hang her head. She did a lot of great things. And I look for those two women to be in a lot of the future big tennis tournaments to come. I think they're going to be forces. They proved that by the way they played throughout this tournament. So I look for both of them to win a lot more majors in the sport of tennis.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, moving over to the men's side, but Andy Murray, just as of today, won the men's final over Novak Djokovic. And this is the first time in 77 years a British player has won the Wimbledon tournament. I was saying last week how special it would be for Andy Murray to pick up this win, pick up this Grand Slam title, and he did just that by defeating Novak Djokovic, who in fact had a wonderful match with Tsonga before he went up against Murray. I can't say enough. I said he was on fire. He was on fire for quite some time, and the fire just ignited once again when he came out today and won over Novak Djokovic, number one in the world. So let me ask you, Sean, again about the Wimbledon tournament, but what did you think of Andy Murray winning over Novak Djokovic to become the first British player ever in 77 years to win it?
I'll just say this, Julian. Like you said, the point you just made about you can't say enough about Andy Murray. I mean, I just loved how the crowds were rallying around Andy Murray. He was the crowd favorite throughout the tournament. Every time he'd smash a great serve, cross court or something, you'd see the crowd erupt. And you could tell that the crowd was fully behind Andy Murray. And if there wasn't going to be a man named Djokovic or a man named Federer or Nadal to win a Grand Slam tournament, the guy I'd want to see win is the guy that won Wimbledon today, Andy Murray. I didn't expect Andy Murray. I thought he would give Novak Djokovic a great match, but last night and this morning, I just thought something in my gut thought that Djokovic would find a way. He just seems to always does find a way to win matches. But like Serena Williams, he fell by the wayside, and we've had a guy who is so deserving to win Wimbledon. Andy Murray, I wish, like I said earlier about Silva, I wish Murray was listening to our show right now because he's unbelievable. He played unbelievable in the Wimbledon tournament, and I couldn't be happier to see him win that tournament. Today,
most definitely, he took the first three sets from Djokovic and went on to win the Wimbledon tournament. Congrats to Andy Murray, and I'm sure, Sean, I'm very sure that that England is erupting right now after this win. But all right, with these remaining minutes, we're gonna get on to Brad Stevens now. Brad Stevens, former Butler head coach, was recently hired by the Boston Celtics to replace Doc Rivers, who is now in Los Angeles. Brad Stevens took Butler to two NCAA championships and has been told to be one of the smartest coaches coming out of college, as he now becomes the one of the youngest coaches to enter the NBA. Which leads me to ask you, Sean, can Brad Stevens bring a great atmosphere to Boston?
Julian, I think he absolutely can. And I think he will have. I look for Coach Stevens to have a very smooth transition. I know Boston made that big trade, as we know, with Garnett and Pierce, a couple of weeks ago at draft time, and the only real player left from these recent Celtics teams is Rajon Rondo, as we know, and he's coming back for the ACL. But I think Coach Stevens and Danny Ainge seen what you just said about Stevens. He's a very smart basketball mind, young basketball mind, and when I heard that Coach Stevens was hired as the Celtics coach, to me it came out of, like, left field. I wasn't expecting Coach Stevens to replace a great coach who I admire in the NBA and Doc Rivers. I wasn't expecting Coach Stevens to be the pick, to be the choice of Danny Ainge in Boston to be the new head coach, but like I was just saying, he's a very smart guy, and I think he's going to have a very bright future in the NBA as a coach. He's young. He's only the fourth coach Boston in their storied history has hired that's been in his 30s. So, again, young coach, but very smart. So I think he'll have a bright future with Boston.
Now, Sean, I have to ask you, but how will the relationship be with Rajon Rondo?
Oh, well, I think it's going to go with flying colors, Julian. I really do. Something about just the way Coach Stevens coaches. I know he coaches younger players when he was at Butler. I understand that. But he just seems like a guy who can get along very well with young basketball talent. And as we know, Rajon Rondo is slowly approaching and getting ready to enter the prime of his career. So I think that I don't see very many problems with Rajon Rondo and Coach Stevens. I see a great relationship, a player-coach relationship developing between the two of them.
Yeah, I think so too, because this is going to be, I believe, a fresh new start for Boston now without Doc Rivers, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett. You're going to have Brad Stevens come in, and truly bring out a positive energy to himself. I think Brad Stevens has always had a positive energy with his players, and so I see Rajon Rondo very open to the move. Reported that Rondo feels open-minded now with Brad Stevens at the helm. I'll say one other thing, but I don't know if Brad Stevens will be able to handle the pressure going into Boston. I won't say anything too bad about Brad Stevens, but coming from the Midwest, living majority of his life out in the Midwest, pressure may get to him from the media up in Boston.
Well, Julian, if I may add on to that point, it seemed to me that when Coach Stevens was interviewed by ESPN, it seemed like he was handling the pressure just fine. He was like, wow. He was like the Boston Celtics. He was like, when they came calling for him, he snatched that job up in a second. He never hesitated, and he never had any doubts about making the jump and leaving Butler and leaving his whole life in the Midwest, as you were just saying. So I think if there's any young basketball coaching mind out there that can handle the media potential, media endeavors and pressure, and coaching and NBA pressure, all the pressures that come with that job in Boston, as we know what a historic franchise the Celtics are, I think if there's any coach that can handle it, it'd be Brad Stevens right now today.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just going to come into question. But yeah, I mean, we could talk a little bit more about the Boston Celtics, but Sean, what do you think is going to happen between Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens? Who do you feel is going to have the majority of the power? Because Brad Stevens, of course, is going to know many players coming up from the college ranks, And so who do you feel is going to have the majority of the power when it comes time to drafts and when it comes down to NBA free agency?
Julian, I got to say it's got to be Danny Ainge. I still, even though Coach Stevens, I'm sure he's going to know what he's talking about, and he'll know great NBA future talent, like coming out of the college ranks when he sees it. And he's going to give Danny Ainge, I'm sure, will recommend only the best players to Ainge. But right now, Danny Ainge, he was the one. He liked, and he said it in the press conference. He said, the very smart mind. So he knows that he made the right choice and that he has a guy who will bring only the best to that legendary Celtic franchise. So I think while Ainge will have the reins over majority of basketball-related decisions, Brad Stevens, he'll have his say too, but the two of them will work really well together, and I think they're going to build. It won't be too long, a few years down the road, before Boston is right back to being a championship contender. As crazy as that might sound, I think it won't be long before Coach Stevens and Ainge and that whole franchise is going for another championship.
We'll see. I think Rajon Rondo is the main player to take into consideration, but we'll see how power is sorted out in the front office and how the Celtics play next year in the Eastern Conference. But all right, our final topic of today, Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut won his 7th consecutive Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Joey Chestnut actually surpassed his record of devouring a total of 69 hot dogs. Joey Chestnut, in my belief, is a wild guy. He 69 hot dogs within 10 minutes of time. It's just wild, crazy. I can't expect me to stuff down so many hot dogs like that within 10 minutes of time. But let me ask you the final question of today, Sean, but what did you think of Joey Chestnut winning his 7th consecutive hot dog eating contest? Don't you feel that's crazy?
Yes, I do, and I'll say this, Julian, as one of my closing points, albeit I find eating contests to be somewhat of a disgusting subject, but anyway, I will say, did we expect anything different when it comes to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? If Joey Chestnut enters with his longtime rival Kobayashi being gone from those unhealthy eating competitions, and with Kobayashi no longer entering the hot dog eating contest, I didn't expect anybody to defeat Joey Chestnut. I mean, I've never seen a person who can eat like that the way he does. Like you said, shattering his own record, 69 dogs in 10 minutes, that is absurd to me. It's astonishing. I don't know what words to use, but hey, I'm happy for him. The guy, he comes back every year, and he finds ways to keep coming back and keep eating and keep winning. So power to you, Joey.
Yeah, and to wrap it up here, but he's sure a pop culture legend, the way he just devours these hot dogs and still wins.
And I know this is, just say one more point about that hot dog eating contest, Julian, about how amazing Joey Chestnut's feat is. Look at the women's competition. I know that wasn't as much ballyhooed as the men's competition, but the women's winner, she only ate 36 dogs, the winner. So... Joey Chestnut outdid her by like twice as many hot dogs. That to me alone is an amazing stat. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, well, about does it for Sports Kingdom today. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. If you listen to this episode on iTunes and Stitcher. Our next show is this Thursday. We'll see Gardner from USA Today Sports and Graham Womack from this baseball blog. I'll share it with you on one of our upcoming shows, but tune in for that. Also, this upcoming Saturday, we have the NBA Free Agency Frenzy show, so we got a good week ahead for Sports Kingdom Radio. So, once again, thank you for joining and tune in next. Peace out.